You mean the little picture?
Good evening.
No.
So welcome to the Member Conduct Committee, everybody. This meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. Please also note that under the Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulations 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the control of the Council.
Yeah.
Thank you. Item number one, apologies. Are there any apologies?
Councillor Ward, Councillor Keith Harris is substituting for her.
Thank you. Item number two, minutes of the previous meeting. To confirm as a correct record the minutes of the meeting held on the 13th of December 2021. Any comments on the minutes? We accept them?
Yeah.
Accepted.
Thank you very much.
I wasn't here, Chair.
Item number three, disclosures of pecuniary interests and other registrable and non-registered interests. Are there any?
No.
I'll take that, there isn't any. Thank you. Item four, questions under committee procedure 12.8. No questions were received. Item five, update on complaints received. A report of the monitoring officer providing an update on complaints received about breaches of the code of conduct and any issues arising from those complaints. Adrian.
Thank you, Chair. So this is the regular update report that the committee receives at each meeting. There have been six complaints received since the December meeting, four in last year and two in this year. And the appendices are a summary for the whole of the previous year, ended 31st of March, and for this year to date, a brief overview of the complaints that have been received, whether they're parish and town council complaints or borough council complaints, a summary of what the complaint was about, and the outcome for each complaint. I'm happy to answer any questions, Chair.
Any questions, councillors?
Just one, if I may.
Councillor Rollins.
There's a new one in relation to conflicts in relation to a HMO property. Is that a planning conflict or what? I'm not going to ask you for exact details, but a bit more on what that complaint is about. It's not entirely clear.
Through you, Chair, it's a complaint from a complainant who believes that a councillor has potentially improper connections with the landlord of a house in multiple occupation.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
So, we can take them as noted then?
Yep.
Thank you very much. Item number six. Member conduct complaints, fact-finding reports. A report of the monitoring officer presenting proposal to update reporting and publicity arrangements for member conduct complaints in the fact-finding stage.
Thank you, Chair. So this arises from a situation where a complainant recently complained about the procedure and process that had been followed in relation to a member conduct complaint. The Chief Executive appointed an independent investigator to look into that complaint, which is quite complex. Although the investigator found that the procedure and process had been correctly applied and therefore didn't uphold any elements of the complaint, she did recommend that we should clarify the status and publicity arrangements for fact-finding summary reports. Now, these are not something that are mentioned within the constitutional procedure, so it's something that's custom and practice. And at the moment, some of you may have seen these when they get to the panel stage. So at the moment, I produce a summary that names the complainant, names the councillor being complained about, gives a reasonably detailed summary of the complaint, a detailed summary of the councillor's response to the complaint, and then goes into some detail about my reasoning the conclusion I reach and also the views of the independent person in respect of the complaint. Now, those are, for obvious reasons, issued to the complainant and the councillor being complained about, and also in respect of parish and town council complaints to the relevant clerk. Now, it's not been our custom and practice to mark those documents as confidential, and effectively in practice, because of the people we issue them to, we'd have very limited means of enforcing any confidentiality requirements anyway. But in this particular circumstance, one of the parties who was in receipt of the fact-finding report disclosed it to the local press, and the complainant was concerned that because they were named within the complaint, that was a potential breach of privacy. So what I did was I did a bit of research to look at how other councils and other organisations treated these fact-finding documents at that early stage of the complaint, and I was most impressed by the way the local government the Public Services Ombudsman for Wales, who in Wales has responsibility for the initial fact-finding into member conduct complaints, interestingly enough. And what they do is they produce a very summarised report that names the council but doesn't name the councillor or the complainant. And they actually then go on to publish all of those reports on their website. So I thought that that might be the best way to go forward. So we would not be naming the councillor or the complainant, there'd therefore be no personal information. And because there'd be no personal information, we could, if we wished, then publicise those reports on our website. We wouldn't be issuing press releases or drawing attention to them, but they'd just be publicly available if any members of the public or local residents were interested in the details of complaints, which are at the moment, the only thing that goes into the public domain locally is the very, very brief summaries that you've seen in the previous report. So it's really, that's my suggestion as to a potential way forward. It's only custom and practice. We don't need to change the constitution if we choose to change the custom and practice. So really it's a suggestion for the committee to consider and decide what, if any, changes you want to make to the current process.
Councillor Rollins.
Does that stop a councillor choosing to make it known that it was them that the complaint was about? So, for example, if that was against me and you sent me that anonymised report, there's nothing stopping me still sending it to the press and whoever else to say, this was a complaint about me, here's the brief fact-finding report. So does it actually solve the issue that this complaint was about, do we think?
Well, the complaint, I think the gist of the complaint was that Charnwood Borough Council was putting personal information that identified the complainant in particular out, not necessarily into the public domain, but was publicising a document that then could be shared more widely. Okay. You're absolutely right, Councillor Rollins. People can always go to the press, you know, complainant could go to the press and say, I complained about councillor blogs, this is what the council produced.
Yeah.
But it's not us that's, our document wouldn't have the names on, people would be choosing to divulge those names themselves.
Okay.
I'll come back.
Just
on that.
A follow up, if that's okay. Is that document or are the other investigation documents FOIable? So could someone ask for that anyway and then get unredacted versions of this kind of report?
They are FOIable, but back in June 2013, the Member Conduct Committee considered some guidelines in relation to the publicity that we would give to complaints as they work through the various stages of the complaints process. And the guideline is that at the fact-finding stage, because that there is no breach of the Code of Conduct identified, that we would not normally divulge the councillor's name in relation to an FOI request. You always have to apply a public interest test in relation to each FOI request that we receive, but the general guidance that the committee agreed in 2013 was that we wouldn't divulge the name of the councillor at that initial fact-finding stage.
Okay. I can have one more follow-up if that's okay, sorry, and then that's me done. Do we think this is going to be much work to put together? Is this going to create more burden on you and Karen, or do you think this is something that's easily done
It's probably less burden because the intention would be that the fact-finding summaries would be much more of an overview than the level of detail we currently go into.
Okay.
And obviously, if we needed to progress onto a hearing, that level of detail will come from the investigation report rather than the fact-finding summary.
Fine. So I'd be reluctant to ask you and, you know, Karen to put more work in something that we're not really achieving what this person's complained about, but equally I'm absolutely all for transparency to an extent, and I think this is probably a nice middle ground whereby councillors or complainants can choose to name themselves if they want, but they don't have to, and at least Charmelborough Council aren't the ones naming them, because some councillors will probably rather something that's gone nowhere isn't published, others will be quite happy to say, well, actually this was about me, nothing's come of it, here's a very brief summary. So I don't have any concerns, but obviously happy to hear what other people think. Thank you.
Councillor Draycott.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I was going to start with the same as Councillor Rowlands. If I'm right, you have a person who complains about a councillor. That then gets considered by the monitoring officer, and then you decide whether that should go forward. So the email that you send to both, is this what we're talking about?
So at the moment, you're absolutely right, Councillor Draycott. A complaint comes into me. I'll summarise the process that I follow so everybody's fully aware of what goes on. So if somebody makes a complaint to me, the first thing I do, if the complainant hasn't asked to be for their name and details be kept confidential, is I tell the councillor who's been complained about that Mrs. Jones has complained about them, and this is Mrs. Jones' complaint. They get a chance to respond to the complaint. I then consider the complaint and the response and reach a conclusion as to whether I think it needs to be investigated, whether it merits some form of action other than investigation, the commonest which would be an apology. If the complainant is willing to accept an apology and the councillor is willing to give one, or whether it's a trivial matter or it doesn't warrant any further action. And I consult with one of the independent persons to see whether they agree with me or not. I then summarise all of that into the fact-finding report and normally email it to the councillor and the complainant.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how you anonymise it in a way that they could not use it by going public. I can't work that out, because even if you say Councillor X and Mr. X, they still know who they are and they can still use that document. I'm just trying to think of worst case scenarios if someone's determined to do that, because you've gone to a lot of trouble, and then if they still want to do something like that, I can't see what's stopping them.
I don't think we'll ever stop somebody going to the press, and I'm not sure we would want to stop somebody going to the press.
Even if you marked it confidential?
I think the two main options in my mind were we carry on exactly as we do now. We name the complainant and the council, and we just put confidential in big capital letters at the top. We send that to the complainant and the councillor. The complainant sends it to the press. We have no way of taking action against that person. We have no way of enforcing that confidentiality requirement. They're not an employee of the council. They're not a councillor. They're just a member of the public.
So if it was the councillor and they knew it was a confidential document, they're tied not to reveal it, whereas the member of the public isn't tied, so you would know who had leaked it.
But knowing who had leaked it when you have no recourse against the person, if it's the complainant, the member of the public,
there's still nothing you can do about it.
We can do absolutely nothing about that if they choose to go to the press.
Yeah. And Chair, my only other question was, If we do agree to this and it goes the way it does, where on the website will it actually show?
I think we would have to look at having a link from the... There's a page on the website for details about the Member Conduct Committee. I think we'd have a link on that site to fact-finding decision reports.
And then you can go in and find them. Yeah. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Rollins.
I think the way I understand it is, at the moment, we produce a report with Charmborough Council's details on it that names complainants and councillors are being complained about, whereas what the proposal is that we anonymise that, and then we're not at risk of being complained about as we have been, because we've allowed that document to then go to people that we've got no control over. So at least if we take the details off of it, it's still a Charnborough Council document, but it's anonymised. So if someone then goes and uses that, whether it's a councillor or the individual that's complained, it doesn't really matter, because it doesn't give the details. We've not allowed that to become public. But I'm all for transparency. I don't really see an issue with being public anyway, which is why I'd be quite happy to see them published on the website, just so people can see what's going on and be sure that member conduct is something that the council takes seriously.
Carol Winston, Democratic Services, you want to say something?
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say, as the Deputy Monitoring Officer, that I do believe this would create better transparency. We would clearly have a summary only on the website, and as Adrian has explained, we would put it where, at the moment, we have a site where you can make a complaint, and so we can have a section. These are the outcomes from recent fact-finding investigations. And also I would point out as well, what happens is, for example, today I've sent a fact-finding report to a member of the public who's made a complaint about a parish councillor. I now have to wait 10 working days for them to make an appeal, so it would be after that 10 working days where I would put it on the website, a summary. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hadjo and Nicola.
Hi, I'm confused and not happy. Okay. Right, now, complaints may be genuine, complaints may be malicious. So, just to answer you about address, actually, your point about transparency, yes, transparency is always welcome, but actually if you have a malicious complaint of a terrible nature, and you can imagine what this might be, right? You have the right, every councillor, every human has the right actually to defend himself or herself and not to be exposed. So, going back to the process, if you receive a complaint, and this is where I'm confused, you receive a complaint, then you go to the next step, which is the fact-finding investigation. At that stage, you collect evidence to see whether you should uphold or not uphold. Who makes the decision of upholding or not upholding the complaint?
So, if at the fact-finding stage my decision is, or Karen's decision, it needs to be investigated, and we appoint an investigator who produces an investigation report, and based on collection of the evidence and speaking to witnesses and looking at what actually happened in quite some detail, the investigator will decide whether or not there is a potential breach of the code of conduct. If I think the investigator's done their job properly and has suggested that there has been a potential breach and the evidence is there to support that, that's when we call a panel of this committee.
Yeah.
And a panel of three members of this committee for a borough councillor complaint plus a non-voting parish member for a parish or town councillor will conduct a hearing, listen to all the evidence.
I understand and I agree. So let's go back. So the complaint is placed, there is actually a fact-gathering investigation, the complaint is not upheld. Of course, the complainant has the right of appeal, all right, the appeal goes in, it's not upheld again. So why this should be published when actually the complainant has not been upheld? Now, this is number one. Number two is, okay, you uphold the complaint, then there's an investigation. And the outcome of investigation is actually very bad for the councillor. The councillor has done something really bad, all right? Is this actually when you're talking about publishing the outcome of that investigation after you uphold the complaint and anonymize that one? Because you see, when we go to the first part, if you don't uphold, then practically you should not be exposing anybody. All right, let's make it actually really bad. Okay, somebody doesn't like actually Councillor, John, all right, and goes out there and says, he tried to rape me, all right. Do you understand? This is actually a very serious complaint. Mm. This is very serious, maybe genuine, maybe malicious, all right. So Councillor John needs to be protected. So you go through the fact-gathering investigation, you reach the point you say, no, there is no evidence, this is a malicious thing. So why this should be exposed? Because no matter what happens, actually, if actually this finds its way to any outlet, it's very damaging for the person. So we need to protect also that person. But if actually you uphold it, and if you go to a disciplinary, and actually there is a disciplinary action, then I understand actually there should be a need for publishing this.
Councillor Rollins?
The way I see it is this protects people more because there's no document that names me or any councillor by Charnwell Borough Council. There's just an anonymised document, which means whoever the complainant is that this report goes to, it's anonymised. So that means that I'm not named on there, whereas I otherwise would be. At the moment, they'll get an email saying, here's a fact-finding report. It would name the individual councillor, and we've got no control over what that complainant does, whereas at least anonymising it means that they can't do a lot with it, can they? They can only say who they think the complaint is about.
But back to my question, we anonymise the complaints which have been upheld.
It's at the fact finding. So if a complaint goes through the whole process, then it's published anyway because there's a panel that's open, isn't there? It's public. It's in the public domain at that point anyway. So is that anonymised? No.
So, all right. So when we go to the ones which are not upheld, are these the ones anonymised?
The suggestion is that at the fact finding stage, irrespective of whether or not the decision is to investigate or not to investigate, we would anonymise them all and publish all of the decisions. And you're absolutely right, we do on occasion get, I'm not sure if vexatious is the right word, but we get groundless complaints. So a few years ago I had a complaint from a member of the public about the parish councillor, and the complaint was that the parish councillor's son was bullying their son at school. Well, that's obviously nothing to do with that person as a councillor. So in the fact-finding summary, it said that's a private matter, nothing to do with the person's role as a councillor. Complaints not moving forward. Now, under the current process, I named the councillor, I named the complainant, and I sent a copy of that document to both of them. So either of them could have sent that to the local paper. Under the current, what we're proposing is we would just say, there's a complaint about Councillor X of whichever parish council it was from a member of the public that his son was bullying their son at school. Conclusion of the monitoring officer, this is not the councillor acting in their role as a councillor, it's not going to be investigated. But nobody would know who they were, and either one could still go to the press and say that was me or that was Councillor Brox. But we'll never stop that, whichever process we follow. We'll never stop people choosing to go to the press and naming themselves or naming the councillor they've complained about. I think this is an approach followed by the Public Sector Ombudsman for Wales in relation to all member conduct complaints in Wales. It's also the approach that the Local Government Ombudsman in England uses for complaints about service delivery at councils. So if a member of the public complains about Charnwell Borough Council and it's a completely frivolous complaint, the Ombudsman still publishes a summary of that complaint, anonymised, and says it was a frivolous complaint, we're not going to proceed with it. And they still publish that. Now you could argue that's in some way detrimental to us as Charnwell Borough Council because it was a frivolous complaint. But the Ombudsman has published their conclusion that it was a frivolous complaint and they're not going to proceed with it. But they don't name the complainant, they name us. Because we're not private individual.
Councillor Draycott.
Yes, Chair, just to come back on one of the examples that was given, if a really malicious complaint is made, as you suggested, that I think would be a criminal investigation. And as a council, we would await the outcome of the criminal investigation. And by that time, it would have been decided whether the person was innocent or guilty. So that kind of, really bad sort of complaint, I think if it's a criminal activity, would be dealt with first by the police. Is that right, Adrian?
There is a procedure within the process in the Constitution for me to refer matters to the police if there's a criminal element to a complaint.
Yeah. But
in 12 years, we've never actually had one of those.
I use this as an example.
Yeah, but as councillors, we're in the firing line, and it happens.
Chair, I would be interested. We've got obviously parish and town council reps here. At the moment, when we do our summary, we split between borough council complaints and parish council complaints. So obviously people know that if there are two complaints about the borough, that's Charnwood. But if there are six complaints about parish and town councils, they won't know which six they are, six of those. But if we go down this process, we would obviously know that one of those was about anywhere parish council and two of them were about somewhere else parish council. So I just wondered what the views of the parish reps were about the councils being named without the council or the complainant being named and whether that posed any concerns for them.
Any comment, Councillor?
No, I don't think so, actually, no. No, because if it's a borough one, then it's and likewise, if it was about a parish council, I don't see why that council shouldn't be named as long as the council is there.
Because it's not a complaint about the parish or town council, it's a complaint about one of their councillors. Mm. So it's not about the corporate body, it's about an individual councillor and their personal conduct.
And I think actually for members of the public, they should know if there are complaints about their parish council, really, rather than just any old parish council.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Jones?
I wouldn't have any problem with the process that you're proposing from the parish council perspective. I think it's fine.
Councillor Linworth, have you got anything you'd like to say to us?
Nothing further to add. I just don't think you need to name the council involved. You just refer to it as a parish councillor, because some councils are quite supportive. And there would be speculation amongst members who can read this document in public as to who's been a potential misbehaviour. And I'm sorry, but people have a habit of talking regardless, so we just make it the parish council, full stop.
Any other comments, councillors? Councillor Roberts.
I guess we could just publish parish and town as a category, couldn't we, and Charnwood as another on the website for decisions that or fact finding reports that we publish.
We could. I'm just thinking in terms of transparency, and I think two of the three have said they'd be happy to name the council, okay. One has said perhaps not. I'm just thinking nationally, you know, some of you may remember the national press articles about a particular parish council 12 months or so ago that was having very serious problems, and I think sometimes there may be a public interest in knowing whether there's a large number of complaints arising from one particular parish council, because it's potentially a suggestion that there are underlying problems there.
Yeah, okay. And do we know what the smallest number of councillors we've got on any of our parish councils?
Five, I think.
So it's still smallest. It's not tiny, is it? It's small. But
sorry,
not.
What was the number?
Five.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the issue, Chair, is that as a Charnwood Borough Council, we have 52 councillors, so it might take a bit of working out. But if you had a parish with just five, I think there is a bit more of a possibility you could work it out, but I don't really have a view, so I think it's down to the parish councillors or representatives to make their comments on the matter.
I mean, it's quite, when you look at the proposed reports that we've got, so what they're actually going to look like, it looks like it's going to be a very basic high level summary. So unless the public are aware of what's happened locally and that a complaint might exist, then I think even with a small parish it'd be difficult to work out who that was about, unless you've got some other knowledge of the situation, at which point you'll probably be able to get a copy of the report anyway if you ask the person involved. So I still think it's a better process that we've got at the minute. I think Adrian, the Montrose, is quite right in pointing out that actually it might allow members of the public to spot problems, because if you've got one parish that's got 10 complaints in a year and others that have got none, you might look at it and go, well, what's going on there? Is there something wrong? Can I get involved and do something about it? Do I want to become a parish councillor or, you know, borough councillor or whatever else? So I personally think we should move forward with it and name the council involved.
I'm the devil's advocate all the time. I have a resident in Croxton who has received by the neighbour 32 complaints, and the same neighbour has put actually 6 complaints to the police. None of them failed. Now, do we have the reverse mechanism here? You said actually there may be a council with 10 complaints, but and another one with 0 complaint. And do we have the reverse mechanism to understand actually if there is a problem with the complainants? Because in certain areas you have actually some obsessive compulsive complainants, and then you say, oh, look at the statistics actually this. And then when you check it, it is one person who pushed 32 complaints. Do we have this mechanism?
But it would be immediately obvious from reading the fact-finding report, because if it was a vexatious complaint or something that's just not going to go anywhere whatsoever, then looking at what's been proposed on these fact-finding reports and the brief summary, I'd expect anyone clicking on that would know pretty quickly that actually there's no basis to this complaint, there's no substance to it, which is why it's been kicked out at such an early stage. So I think, although yes, it would give you the headline numbers, just like for Charnwood, you might look at our number of complaints and think, well, are there really that many issues with councillors? And then you delve into them and realise, well, there aren't, because most of them don't go anywhere. So I think it will be easily debunked by just looking at what the report says.
I think actually there should be a mechanism there, just to identify, you know, this kind of, you know, out of order, disproportionate number of complaints, in particular when they are coming from one or specific small number of individuals.
Right. Through you, Chair, I think the mechanism is myself and Karen. Mm. So that's the purpose of the fact-finding review, really, is to sift out the vexatious and frivolous complaints at that early stage, and they just don't go anywhere. Mm. You know, it's a 15-minute, you know, in the situation of a completely frivolous complaint, it's a 15-minute job for myself or Karen to type up a very brief summary. It's a 5-minute job to email out to the independent person to say, do you agree that it's frivolous or not? And then we press the publish button on the website.
So it doesn't go any further.
Councillor.
I've been a parish councillor for 22 years now. And over those years, there have been various councils, not always the same one, different councils, that have had very poor reputations for how they behave to each other and to members of the public, and I think it's in the public interest for them to know how their parish council is behaving. That's why I would prefer to see them named. That if there are lots of complaints, there's obviously something amiss, and the public should know, really. I think so. Mm-hmm.
Shall I make a proposal?
Yes.
So I'd like to propose that we adopt the new fact-finding reports and name the individual parish or town councils when publishing on the on Charnwood Borough Council's website. I don't think there's anything else paper. So yeah, that's my proposal.
We have a seconder for
I'll
that.
Second that.
Elsa Ransom will second that. And we need to vote on that.
Yes.
All those in favour? That's it. Against? Nobody? That's it then. It's carried, thank you. Item number 7 is the work programme, a report of the monitoring officer to enable the committee to agree a work programme to plan its future business. I think this is page 23.
Yes, Chair, it's exactly what it says on the tin. It's your work programme for future meetings and checking that you're happy with it and whether there's anything you want to add or take away, really. I don't think myself or Karen are suggesting any amendments, Karen? No.
No, no amendments. Any comments, councillors?
No.
Are we happy to go with that then, councillors? Thank you very much for that. Well, that concludes the meeting for this evening. Thank you very much, everybody, for attending.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.